If y'all would, please turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter number 6. Now, this is going to be a passage that many of you are probably very familiar with, the feeding of the 5,000. And I'm sure many of you have heard countless of messages on this passage. And, well, I'd be lying to you if I said that I had something revolutionary or something necessarily different to bring that you've never heard before. But there is something I haven't heard highlighted too much in this passage that I'm going to do here at the beginning. I'm going to highlight Philip's excuse here. But we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 14. And it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves and that remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now, go back with me just for a second to verses 5 through 7. Let's reread that real quick. It says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take but a little." You see, Jesus tells Philip, or is testing Philip here, by asking him where they can buy food to feed the 5,000. But rather than answer the question or do what little he could to accomplish the task that has been given him, he instead chooses to complain and to offer nothing, saying, "It is impossible." Philip was so focused on his own ability and his own resources, his own talents, that he chose to offer nothing rather than to offer what little he could in service to God. Now, I full well believe, and maybe this is just speculation on my part, but I believe that if Philip had offered something rather than nothing, Jesus would have used him the same way he later uses Andrew in this passage. Instead of, if he hadn't had complained and said, "God, this is impossible, I'm inadequate, what I have to do is not enough for this task." Instead, if he would have came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I'm not made of money, but this is what little I have. Let me go buy what little we can, and I'll give what little I have to you." I full well believe that God could have used him the same way that he used Andrew. And Jesus went to him first. But why did Jesus not use him? And the answer is simple, because he didn't make himself available to be used, but rather complained he didn't offer anything to Jesus. And you know, I want y'all to notice that the task in which Jesus has called him was beyond his ability. And you know, I've heard a lot of Christians and even messages and preachers say that God will not give you a task that is beyond your ability, or he will not lay upon you a burden that you cannot bear. And I understand what they mean by this, but I have to disagree, because God will absolutely call you to tasks that is beyond your ability. He will put burdens upon you that you by yourself cannot bear. That's the whole purpose of this Christian walk. We're not to do it on our own. And Jesus did not expect either Philip or Andrew to have enough for the task in which he had called them. He only expected them to offer what little they could, and then offer that in faith, and he would take care of the rest. Friends, we have that temptation to not trust in ourselves, to be feelings of inadequacy, and we should, because we're not enough for the task. But we get so bogged down with that we choose to not do anything when we should be doing something for the Lord. I could give you many examples, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do that. But rather, I would like to just talk about my own life and say that God had called me to preach quite a few years ago, but you wouldn't have known it because I didn't surrender right away. You see, I had those feelings of inadequacy. Instead of surrendering, I chose to complain and to make excuses like Philip did. And I said, God, I'm not enough for what you're calling me to do. I can't do what you want me to do. It wasn't until God brought me to a point and showed me that that's the whole point, that he was not expecting me to do it alone. He's not expecting me to accomplish that task. He's going to try and give me the power that I can use through him. And then notice with me verses 8 and 9, and notice Andrew's response. Beginning in verse number 8, it says, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" You see, Andrew made the choice that he would offer what little he had to work with. And please note that what he had to offer wasn't enough. It wasn't even enough to feed maybe 2 of us in here today. But even though what he had was not enough to accomplish the task, thank God that it was enough in Jesus' hands, right? It was more than enough in the hands of Jesus. And I don't mean to down anybody here. I don't mean to be a downer. But I just want to tell you, I realized what I said there. I don't mean to put anyone down here today, but hey, friends, what you have to offer is not going to be enough for what God calls you to do. You by yourself are not enough to walk the Christian life. In fact, you couldn't even be saved by yourself. It is not by good works that you're saved. It's by Jesus Christ and by putting your faith and trust in him. He had to do the work for us, and it continues on even after you're saved. You cannot go through life and go through life's problems and life's tasks on your own. You have to go with the power of Christ. That's what he expects of us. He doesn't expect us to do it alone. He expects us to do it in his power. Friends, God is more than sufficient to provide for our needs, but we must first bring our needs before him with faith that he will then satisfy those needs. Now, let me ask you a question today. I don't know what each of you are going through. If there's somebody here today that may be going through some kind of struggle or problem, or maybe God's calling you to some type of ministry even, and you've had those feelings of inadequacy that I did, let me ask you this question. Could not the very same God who fed the 5,000 feed you? Please don't let that slip past you. Let me ask that again. Could not the very same God who fed 5,000 people with just a small meal, could he not more than provide for you? Or is his hand somehow shortened when it comes to your life? No, friend, God is more than sufficient for your needs, on the contrary to how you may believe or how you may feel. And notice with me real quick, verse 9, and you'll see Andrew's question. It says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" There's something about us humans that we want to know what the future holds. We want to know what's going to happen in the future, so much so that thousands, if not millions of people get so enamored with fortune-telling and zodiac signs and professional predictors who's going to predict the economy and those who are going to be elected presidents or kings or whatever the case may be. And if we're not careful, we too, as Christians, can become so concerned with the future and with what God may do with what has been offered that we choose not to offer anything. That we choose, I don't know what you're going to do here, so I'd rather not take a step further. When God's calling us to take that step further, we may put conditions on our offerings to God and maybe say something like this: God, I'll surrender my life so long as you show me exactly what you're going to do with my life, right? But that's not how that works. And that's not what we see Andrew do here. Andrew offers this meal to God not knowing at all what Jesus is going to do. He had no clue that Jesus was going to feed the 5,000. He knew it wasn't going to be enough, but he made that step forward and said, I don't know how this is going to work, but here it is. I'm going to offer what little is in my power to offer. I want y'all to know as well that what the lad had to give wasn't enough. It was a small meal. But all the commentators I've read all say the same thing. This meal was not a rich man's meal. It was a very poor meal. And something you have to understand about Palestine at this time and the Jews at this time is they weren't like us here in America today. They didn't have an abundance of wealth. They didn't have a whole lot of food in store, right? If I were to give a meal, I can just go back home and raid the pantry, right? I can get some more food, or I can go buy some food at the grocery store, right? There's more food. And I think it's kind of hard for us here in America today to really grasp this concept. But what this little boy had was probably his only meal for the day. They ate about 1 to 2 meals a day, if even. And they ate day to day. That's all they had. They didn't have a whole bunch in store. So I think it's fair to assume that what this lad was offering was quite literally all he had to satisfy himself for that day. It was all he had. And I got to be honest with you, this kind of puts me to shame sometimes in my life, because there are times when God asks me to sacrifice myself or sacrifice something in my life, and that causes me to only grip it more. Where I'm like, God, I don't want to lose this, or I don't know what's going to happen. I'm afraid of losing or missing out on something important. I don't want to give this, right? But that's not at all what this lad does. He gives everything he had just to give to Jesus, right? I want you to notice verse 13 here. It says, therefore, they gathered them together and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Friends, that boy did not go hungry, right? He gave full well expecting that he wouldn't have enough to supply him, that he wouldn't get in return. But God multiplied that. He satisfied his needs. And I believe the message that God is trying to get across and that John is trying to get across in this passage is that God is more than enough for us, that he is more than enough. It is not through our power that we're going to satisfy our needs, but he wants us to offer it, right? That's where we have the two examples in this passage. All right, we have the example of Philip and the example of Andrew. Both of them struggled in faith. I don't think either one of them were just great examples of faith here. But when God comes and asks you to do the impossible, which he will at some point, there's really only two responses you can have. You can either make excuses, like I did once before, and say, God, I'm not enough. My wallet is not big enough for this task, or my abilities is not strong enough for this. I cannot do what you want me to do. You can choose to say that, or you can choose to be like Andrew, and you may not know what the future holds. You may be concerned. You may be a little bit afraid, but you offer what little you can, and you offer all that you can to the Lord, and I promise you, he will bless that. There was a message I heard at Heartland once, and the pastor said this, and it kind of caught me off guard for a minute. He said, sometimes we as Christians, we get this misconception or this wrong notion that God wants us to do something for him or that God wants us to live for him. But that couldn't be the case at all. No, God doesn't want you to live for him. Now catch this. He wants you to live with him. Please don't let that slip. God does not want you to do anything for him. He wants you to do it with him. What I mean by that is he doesn't want you to do it in your own power. From day to day, you're not to go throughout your activities just by yourself. You're to do it with God. Maybe you're by yourself humanly speaking. Maybe God calls you to go somewhere or do something where you will be by yourself humanly, but you will not be by yourself spiritually unless you make that choice, unless you choose to say, God, I don't want to do this, and withdraw yourself from him, then you'll be alone. But if you offer yourself to Jesus and you offer yourself to God and say, God, I may not be enough for this situation. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to go on, but I'm going to offer what little I can for you. I'm going to do what little I can, and then God will be supply you, and God will be more than enough. And I know this message was kind of short, but this is coming to the end here, and I'll just say this statement, and then I'll close this out in prayer. Whatever you're going through today, if you're going through a trial or issue, or if God's calling you to something, maybe a career or an action, let me encourage you with this statement. Offer it to God because you're not enough, but because he is more than enough. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord God, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your word and what it means for us, dear God, and I thank you for giving your son, or for giving us your son, dear Lord, and what that means for us, God. And I know in our own lives we cannot be enough. We're not enough, dear God. We weren't enough to save ourselves. We're not enough to live and do the tasks in which you call us. But God, I am so grateful that you're merciful and gracious enough to us that you offer your help so long as we offer ourselves first. And God, I am so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that you even take note of us to offer your help and to help us today. God, I thank you for this message, and I just pray that it would speak as your will be, dear Lord. I ask and pray all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.